The theme of the Tosfos is that Stam Kelim Shal Nochem Ene Bnei Yonah, and the word Shal Nochem is Lav Davke. Assume Stam Kelim are not Bnei Yonah. If you don't know one way or the other, you assume that that the Kli is Ene Bnei Yonah. Whenever you cook kosher food in a tray for Kli that's Ene Bnei Yonah, we call that Nosim Tam Lav Davke. We assume that it wouldn't make tray for the other. Stam Kelim Ene Bnei Yonah doesn't apply to a restaurant. In a restaurant, they cook all day long. Some rabbi told his balabatim they can buy kosher fish in a tray for a restaurant because Tam Kenem Ein Meyam. What are you talking about? Use the frying pan 25 times every day. How can you say Tam Kenem Ein Meyam? If they fry the tray for fish on that today, so then if they're going to do a kosher fish, we assume there'll be a bria. They'll make tray for the kosher fish. He's in a private home. They don't cook all day long. They don't care. They cook breakfast, lunch, and supper. They don't cook so many meals. You assume the Stam Kenem Ein Meyam. So Tosfos proved it, the first half of the day, they proved it like this. Just to review again, there was a machloikis in Avodah Zarah Daf Samaches, Tosfos quotes it, between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon regarding the pasuk that says, Lagerish Avashachet Tetan of Achala, Amachal Anochri. So they both say, you see from the pasuk, Nevelet Shein Eruya, Lager Ein Kruy Nevelet, it's Muta Bachila. What do you mean, Ein Eruya Lager? So Rabbi Yehuda is a big machmer, Rabbi Shimon is a maker. Rabbi Yehuda says, when the animal drops dead and the Isa Nevela is Chal, so if at the time of death, when the Isa Nevela is Chal, the animal is so sickly that it's not, the meat is not Royal Achila, so then the Isa is not Chal. But if when the animal died, the meat in the A&P is edible. People take it home and they cook it. It's edible, Royal Achila. So when the animal died, Shaloi Boifin Shal Shchita, the Isa Nevela was Chal. Then later on, you leave it out of the refrigerator for a month. And it becomes Nifsam Achila, so that's Noisin Tam, that's Nifsam Achila, so Rabbi Yehuda holds that it's still awesome, until it becomes Nifsam Achila Sakelev. Nifsam Achila Sakelev doesn't have a shame Eichel, so it can't maintain an Isser Macholas Asuris. Rabbi Shimon disagrees, and he says, even if the Isser Nevela was Chal when the animal died, but if later it becomes Nifsam Achila Sodom, so the Isser Daraisa goes away, and there's only an Isser Derabban. So that's the original din of Reb Shimon, that the Nevela Shein Eruya Lager, even though the Isa Nevela was Chal when the animal died, Shaloi B'Shchita, but once the food becomes Nusim Achilas Adam, it becomes Mutta. Then, based on that, Reb Shimon goes a step further. That's the question. How did he figure that one out? He goes one step further and he says, even if the treif of food is not Nifsam Achilas Adam, but a little treifus, let's say a little chazashmatz falls into, they're making in an ice cream factory. Making delicious ice cream has one flavor. Chazashmaltz tastes delicious, I'm sure. I never tried it. It has a different flavor. So if you mix in the chazashmaltz into the ice cream would have tasted better without the chazashmaltz. Still tastes delicious, but it's not as delicious as it would have been if it wouldn't have had the chazashmaltz. That's called Nesen Tam Lev Gam. So Nesen Tam Lev Gam is only a Pagam Zuta. It's Reil Achila Sodom, it's delicious. But since it's Pagam Mimiktsas and it's a Niut, it's much less than 50%. Pagam Mimiktsas said that's Mutta. One can hold like Reb Shimon that Nivsam Achila Sodom is Mutta and Nevela Sheni Vilager and not accept this din of Pogim Mitzvahs. It's questionable how you even derived it, one from the other. And even if one assumes that you do extend it to the din of Nes Tam Lagam, so Tosfos points out there are two different kinds of Nes Tam Lagam. One is when you mix in Chazer Shmaltz into ice cream, the ice cream doesn't taste as good as it tasted before. That's one kind of Nes Tam Lagam. Then the other kind is if you have a tray for kli, a pot where they cooked chazashmaltz. Chazashmaltz b'shaito, and now I'm going to cook vegetable soup. And if I pour chazashmaltz into the vegetable soup, it would enhance the flavor. It would taste very good, or it'll taste different. But it won't be poigim and mitzvahs. The vegetable soup will taste delicious, maybe even better. But because the tray for pot in which I cooked the chazashmaltz was sitting, the bliya was sitting in the metal. The charsis hakdera was working on this bliya for 24 hours. So that's another form of nesen tam lev gam. So Tosfos points out you don't necessarily have to hold that they're both mutter. One can hold the nesen tam lev gam is only mutter if the thing is pogim. If you pour in the chazashmaltz into the ice cream, that kind of nesen tam lev gam you hold from. And the other one of the Bli is sitting in the Chasis Hakderet for 24 hours. Thank you very much. One can say that that would be Osa. So Tosfos shows that the Mishnah holds like that. Because the Mishnah and Avodah Zarah, let's look. First there's a Mishnah on Daf Lamed, Hey, Amid Beis, I think. Oh no, Daf Chav Tes, Amid Beis, there's a Mishnah. Eilad Ram Shal Nochem Dar Osa Ba'anoah. Then there's another Mishnah, Eilad Ram Shal Nochem Dar Osa Ba'achila, Muta Ba'anoah. Then the last Mishnah says, Eilad Ram Shal Nochem Dar Muta Ba'achila. So on the list of things in the Muta Ba'achila, so it says Dvash, honey. All honey in the world is Muta Ba'achila. I think Maria is, how can it be Muta Ba'achila? Maybe the Goy poured in some Chazer Shmaltz. Maybe he's going to sell me a jar of honey, and it's a fraud. It's not 100% honey. Maybe mixed in Chazer Shmaltz just to fill up 5%, 10% of the jar. The Gemara says, no, the Goy's not going to do that, because it's going to be misrisaria. It's going to be Poigam and Mixas. The honey will not taste as good as without the Chazer Shmaltz, and the Nochri is not going to do that, because the customers are not going to be happy. They're going to realize that it doesn't taste good, so they're not going to buy it. So you see from the Mishnah that you're not worried about that, because if it would be misrisaria, that's what Tosis quotes. If it would be misrisaria nachamo, imshim guli avdikam. No. The Gemara says if you're afraid he's going to cook the honey, that misrisaria means the guy is not going to be so stupid. He's not going to do that. Aye, but maybe he'll cook the honey to purify. Maybe cook the honey in the same pot where he cooked the Chazer Shmaltz yesterday. So the Gemara, so the Mishnah says you don't have to worry about that, because B'dievet it does nasa. So since B'dievet does nasa, so there's no problem. So Tosfos says, but the Mishnah holds a Nesen Tam Lagam is Osir. Because there's another Mishnah that says, Eilad Ram Shal Nochem, that you're not allowed to buy, Osir B'achilam Mutamanor, so list of Shemen Akum. Then the Gemara quotes Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya, the grandson of Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya, who edited the Mishnah. So the grandson of Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya was also the chief rabbi way later. And he was, who Beis Din Hitir Shemen Akum. Why were they matter the Shemen Akum? Because they hold that B'diyeb and Noisin Talmud Gamas Mutter, and they put it into the Kelim when the Kli is Zayin Ben Yamam. Who says they put it in the Kli when it's Zayin Ben Yamam? So Tosfos says, you see from the Gemara, the assumption is that Stam Kelim Shal Nochem, Arein Ben Yamam. That's parenthetic. That's what they're driving at. So then Tosfos says, but isn't it a stira in the Mishnayos? The same series of Mishnayos that were edited by Rabbi Yehuda Nasi says that Shemen Akum is Osir, because they cook it, you have to be concerned, they cooked it in a trefa pot, even though the pot is probably Ena Ben Yoimah. That's why Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, the grandson, was Matarid, because Ena Ben Yoimah is Nasin Tam Lagam. So the Mishnah holds Nasin Tam Lagam is Osir. And nonetheless, the Mishnah says that by Dvash from the Nochem is Mutter, because what are you going to be concerned about? If you're going to be concerned that they cook the Dvash to purify it in a tray for Kli that have Chazer Shmaltz, the Gemara says, Nesen Tam Lagam is Mutter. So isn't it a steer in the Mishnayis? How come the Shemen is also because Tana in the Mishnah holds Nesen Tam Lagam is also? And the Dvash is Mutter because Nesen Tam Lagam is Mutter. You have to say the two kinds of Nesen Tam Lagam. The Chazer, if you pour the Chazer Shmaltz into the honey, it would be poigim. It wouldn't taste as good. So that kind of Nesen Tam Lagam, the Mishnah also holds from. That's Mutter. The Mishnah doesn't hold from Nesen Tam Lagam if you cook the Shemen Akum in the Trefa Kli. So if you would have cooked the Shemen Akum in the Trefa Kli that has a Bliya from the Chazer Shmaltz, on the same day, if you would pour the Chazer Shmaltz in the Shemen, it would taste good. It would enhance the flavor. It would change the flavor. It wouldn't be Poigim and Mixas. So the Chazer Shmaltz in the Shemen is not Poigim. But the reason why the reason why in the later generation of Yud and Nisir was Mata, the Shemen Akum, because Tam Kelim Einim B'Yayman, and they probably cooked the Shemen Akum in the Kli She'Einim B'Yayman. So Kli She'Einim B'Yayman is Nais and Tam Levgam. So the Mishnah doesn't hold from that Nais and Tam Levgam. But if it would be, the B'Yen would be Pugim and Mitzvahs. If you pour Chazer Shmaltz into honey, it would be Pugim and Mitzvahs. It would ruin the flavor a little bit. It still tastes very good, but ruin the flavor a little bit. So that nice and Tam Levgam, the Mishnah does hold from. But the one of Eina B'Yamin, the Mishnah doesn't hold from. So that's what Tosfos points out from that Gemara. You see, number one, Stam Kelim Eina B'Yamin. See, number two, there are two kinds of Nosin Tam Labgam. One is Eina Ben Yoimai. Whatever the Bliya was, whenever it's Eina Ben Yoimai, it's going to be Pogam and it's Nosin Tam Labgam. And the other Tana Nosin Tam Labgam, the Tana does hold from. The Mishnah does believe in when the Chazar Shmaltz is Pogam and Mitzvahs in the Shemen. When the Chazar Shmaltz is Pogam and Mitzvahs in the honey, that the Mishnah holds that Nosin Tam Labgam is Mutter. But the Nosin Tam Labgam, because it's Eina Ben Yoimai, that the Mishnah doesn't hold from. Okay. So that's just the review that we learned already. Then the last five lines in Tosfos of the Ode, the Meforish Halsam, they say it's in Avodah Zarah Daf Lamed Tesef and Aleph. The Gemara says there's some kind of a very sharp vegetable. Kort shel chiltis asur. You're not allowed to eat. You're not allowed to buy. Kort means tiny particles. And Nachri took a knife and he chops up a chiltis, was a very sharp vegetable. Cuts it up into tiny pieces. Also, why mishum the mafsik alei b'sakina? Because he cut it with a knife, and the nachri cuts it with his treifa knife. The question is, avagav the nesin tamal of gam is mutter? The Gemara asks, but nesin tamal gam is mutter. Who says that nesin tamal gam? Well, the Gemara says, even though generally nesin tamal gam is mutter, but over here, agav churfa the chilt is because this vegetable is so sharp, dovachorif, therefore mechal yalei lishvach. Nechalya means sweetened. It sweetens the flavor. So what's Nosin Tam Labgam? What the trefa knife, the bliyan trefa knife, going to be poigen be mitzas in the chilte? What was the question? So Tosfos says, obviously the posh pshat in the Gemara is that the knife, stam kelim, arein ben yamin, some stam of the trefa knife that the goy is cutting the chiltes with, he probably didn't use it for hot trefas in the last 24 hours, because stam kelim, arein ben yamin. So that's why the Gemara raises the question, why do you say if the Nochri cuts the chiltis, which is of a dove charif, cuts a dove charif with a treifa knife, he asks it, but the treifa knife is probably Eina Ben Yoiman, Stam Kelim Eina Ben Yoiman, and we paskan Aloha like Rabbi Yehuda in the Sia, not like the Mishnah. We paskan that Eina Ben Yoiman does Nasa B'Yevit. So to that the Gemara answers, no. Avagavdin does Nalagam is generally Mutter, but here Agav Churfa the chiltis, because it's such a dove charif. Therefore, mechal yalei de shvach. It makes it, it sweetens it, and it makes it nice and tam de shvach. Mishav yalei de shvach. It makes it nice and tam de shvach. So Tosfos says, v'yista mayu b'nei yoyim aninu. If, why did the Gemara assume that it's nice and tam levgam? If you should assume, this time kelim of the nocha may pass, it's a sofik ha-shokal, may be ben yom, may not be, it's 50-50, l'habit zoch lo satam. Why did the Gemara have to give a chidush? That a davachorif is osur because davachorif is mechal yalei d'shvach. Say it's a chashash, and maybe that it's a ben yomah. So you see from the whole discussion in the Gemara, Pasha Pshat, a stam knife of the stam kelim, a reina ben yomah. That's a din of Shulchan Aruch, that if you cut a davachorif with a treif, a knife, even though the knife is reina ben yomah, and usually a klish reina ben yomah does make treif, because we hold from both forms of nois and tamal of gam, we pass like Rabbi Yehuda and Zia. Even the Eina Ben Yoma doesn't tamal of gam is also mutter, but if it's a davar charev, then it's mecham shavi le neshma. In Shulchan Aruch there's a big machlekes, but it only applies to chiltis, which is extremely charev, or it applies even to onions. So Rabbi Baruch Epstein, the author of the Torah Tmima, wrote an autobiography. So he has all kinds of stories there. So he has one of the more famous stories he quotes is about Rabbi Chaim Volozhiner, that he was in the Beis Medrash and a woman came in with a shayla. That she made a mistake on Friday when she was cooking the chickens for Shabbos, when she was cooking the flesh for Shabbos. So she cut the onion with a milchig knife. And then she put the onions into the flesh. So based on the Shulchan Aruch, onions is considered a davar charif. We assume chiltis is lav davka, all sharp vegetables. Onions are also davar charif. And then she cooked all the onions, she put the onions in with the flesh and makes it basa b'cholim. So Rabbi Chaim Volozhiner, and she was obviously a very poor woman, and if you're going to throw out, you're going to tell her that everything is basa b'cholim, everything is treif, not going to have what to eat for Shabbos because you wouldn't be able to afford to buy another portion of meat. So Rabbi Chaim Volozhiner asked her, what color were the shells of the onion? Were they black or were they brown? So she looked for the face. There are no black onions in Europe where they live. They're only brown onions. They said it's mutter. So the woman got ahead. So she ran out from the basement quickly. He shouldn't change his mind. So after she left, so the Talmidim asked, where did you say that in your day? That there's a chilek between brown-shelled onions and black-shelled onions. So he said, it doesn't say in your day, but he doesn't hold like that sheet. He really holds it against the Shulchan Aruch. He holds that the din should only apply to chiltis. The ikar is like those who shanim only applies to dobach harif miyot. Onions are not harif anot. But he says he can't paskan against Rabbi Yosef Kar. But Rabbi Yosef Kar lived in Tzvat. And in Tzvat, in Eretz Yisrael, the onions are black-shelled. I don't know if it's true. That's what he said. And we all know that people with dark hair are sharper than people with blonde hair. I have blonde hair. The people with black hair are sharper. So the black-shelled onions are sharper than the brown-shelled onions. And the Mechaber never said anything about brown-shelled onions. So it doesn't say in Shulchan Aruch. It doesn't say, say he holds the hakam. That's what he quotes in the story. Anyway, so that's what comes up every so often, that a woman by mistake cuts either with a fellation knife or a milchik knife, even though she knows bavadai that it's ain't a binyama. But we treat onions as a double charif, and a double charif, even though the treif and knife is ain't a binyama, and it should really be considered nosen ham levgam. But that's when the Gemara says churfei, churf. The Gemara says churfei bechiltis, chal yalei de shvach. And whatever the sharp vegetable is, makes it into nosen ham levshvach, and makes it fleshig, makes it milchig, makes it treif, whatever. And then if it's fleshig and milchig, then you put it in the opposite gender, then it'll become treif. If you mix up the genders, then it becomes treif. Okay, shayin. So that's an important thesis. That's here every day. That stam kelem einem v'yayman and klishein v'yayman is called nosen tam levgam. We accept both forms of nosen tam levgam. And by dover choref, we're machmer even not on the chiltis, we're machmer on everything. Okay. Yeah, what was the next thesis was commenting on the Gemara. The Gemara says, Yushecht, the Gemara began on Chesam and Alfi Shechting with the second shell at church. Shell of Rizor, that's awesome. I know. So the discussion was, is considered getting Hano or not? We'll have to discuss this further. Why don't you say that the fact that you matter the behemoth Bishchita, that itself is called Hano? Why does the Gemara say, the way Tais explains, if Kilkuli Eser al Tikunai, so it's not called getting Hano? Why don't you say using it for a matter should be called getting hano? We'll have to discuss that. If you use a sandal shel chalitza, use a sandal shel avodah zarah to do chalitza. The Nochem worship, they deified a sandal. Now you want to use that sandal for chalitza purposes. So the Yivam is not allowed to remarry until she gets chalitza. She got chalitza, she took off the shoe from the avodah's right foot, and there was a shoe shel avodah zarah. So do you say she's getting hano from, the Gemara says, it's a question of kitosim echdeshura. If it's an avodah zarah, that's oimed l'sreifa, then I say it doesn't have the shear. And what's the shear that you need by chalitza? You need it. See, a shofar needs a shear of a tefach. A tefach is like this, with the thumb on top like this. From the bottom to the top of the thumb. So when you hold a shofar, you don't hold it like that. You hold it like this. So if you hold a shofar that's exactly a tefach, Gemara has lashon k'deshei ro lekan lekana, it'll stick out of the grasp of the one who's blowing it. The shofar needs a tefach. A lulav needs four tefachim. Hadassim needs three tefachim. So the Mishnah is if you have hadassim or a lulav or an esrog has a minimum size, ke'egos, ke'beitza, whatever, machlegos ha'tanoim. So whenever you have something that has a shear, so you say, if the thing is oimed l'sreifa, so with the zara, I'm in the sreifa, so I treat it like kitoisei mech l'shir, kitoisei means to chop up, like l'chiteis nechash ha'nechoshes, he chopped up the nechash ha'nechoshes. So I treat it as if it's chopped up in tiny particles. You don't say it's kimishei, you know? You don't say kol ha'mitzvah, kol ha'mit l'sreif, it's kisorif, it's kimishei. You don't say kimishei. You say, it doesn't have the shear that it needs. By sandu shel chalitza, it's not a shear of a tefach or an amo or something. It's a shear chayfes rev ragloi. So it's a chiddush in the Gemara that even though it's a different kind of a shear, does the shoe cover rev haregel? It does cover the rev haregel, just because I'm a lesreifa. Right now the oven was wearing the shoe and it does cover rev haregel. So still the Gemara says an issue of kitos emech the shoe. So Tosfos there has two pshat. The Gemara says it depends whether it's avodah zarah shel Yisrael, avodah zarah shel Nochem. If it's avodah zarah shel Nochem, then it lends itself to bittul. So avodah zarah shel Yisrael, it doesn't lend itself to bittul. So what does it mean? Because if it's avodah zarah shel Nochem, theoretically it lends itself to bittul. Therefore, theoretically, since there's a possibility that a Nochem may yet be mevatalit, So you don't say ketosim echter shur because it's not absolutely amil l'sreifa. Or maybe the Gemara means no. If it's avodah zarah shanocha, and they got a nochri to be mevatel it already. So it's past history. They were mevatel it already. So therefore, it's no longer amil l'sreifa. So that's two pshatim and tosus, two pshatim and the mechaber and shulchan aruch. You have a shofar shal rosh hashanah that's avodah zarah shal nochri, and the nochri was not yet mevatel, but theoretically he could still be mevatel it. That 2 days in Mechaber, 2 days in Tosin. If Yom Masechtus, does had the same two shittas in Yom Masechtus, 2 days in the Shulchan Aruch like that. So the Achrenim discuss. If the sandal shal chalitza is mata the woman lihinase, the Ibam is not allowed to marry till she does chalitza, and this shoe is enabling her, why don't you say she's getting hanor from the sandal shal chalitza? Why isn't that itself a violation of Yisrael? And they say, no, mitzvah slav nehonis nita, but it's mata her. Same as over here. You say the sakan shal shchita is mata the behemoth bachir, takes off the Yisrael melechai, takes off the Yisrael nevela. So you don't consider it that you're getting hanor from the knife. Only Sheikh de Sam Sukenes, you say. This is a religious ritual. Shechita, if not for the fact that the Torah gave us a Nisa Nevela, we would eat the Nevela, fine. So the fact that the Saken was used to be Mata, the Isa, Eim and Achai, that's called Mitzvah Slavli Honas Nitam. It's a Chiddush in the Gemara. Only Sheikh de Sam Sukenes, so there, Tikkun al Yasser al Kikuloi, but if it would be Shech de Sabriya, even though the Sakin is the Dov HaMater, it's like over there, the Sand Shal Chalitza is Mata di Bamele, Nosel Ashok, you don't say that you're getting under. That's all included in the din of Mitzvah Slav Nehonis, not considered getting under. So Chiddush, okay. Achrenim pointed out. Yeah, so again, so the Gemara in Amid Aleph is talking about Shechting with the Sakin Shel Abed Zorah. When is it considered getting hanor from the knife? Now, in Amid Beis, Gemara is talking about Sheikh B'Sak and Shal of the Kecholim. It belongs to Anoch, and Anoch used it many times for treifus. So the Shaila was, they're going to be treifus b'yen. Will it bleed of treifus in the knife? Will it succeed in going into the neck of the animal? So there was a machloikas. So what was the machloikas? Where the Beis Hashchita, the neck, when you shech the animal and all the blood gushes out of the neck, so then it gets harder than it normally is. So there was one opinion that Beis Hashchita Reseach, it reaches past the point, Reseach means it's past the point of Yad Zoleres. The other Shita was, no, it doesn't answer. Why? Either because Beis Hashchita Tzainan, or possibly because either the Tridi Simonim Lafuk Edam, the Kon and Nevesha, that the two Simonim, they're busy giving off Dam, so they can't be Balea, the Treif of Leah. So the opinion that says that it's Osir. So there were two explanations: why, either because Beis Hashchita Reseach, or because Agav Duchke the Sakina Bola. So that means Duchke the Sakina alone, you don't need anything. So if you have a milchik fork, everything is called. You have a milchik fork, and you stick it into chicken. Duchke the Sakina, since the prongs of the fork stick in, or you take a knife and you cut the chicken, a cold milchik knife, it makes a treif. So we paska natso. Doesn't Igmar say that Agav Duchke the Sakina? So we pass on like the second half of the Tosfos, that the only time you say Duchke de Sakina Ases makes a bliya is with Sirov, the fact that Beis Hashchita is Miktsas Reseach. Taka, it's not Yatzaledes, but it's warmer than, much warmer than the body temperature. It's close to Yatzaledes. It was an opinion that Beis Hashchita is Reseach. So even though we pass on not Reseach, the combination of both factors together. So that's the next Tosfos. Rabbeinu Yitzchak Rab Meir, Hayamatzach Mitoch Kach, based on this Gemara, he learned the Gemara, Duchke de Sakina alone. You don't need a tziruf of Beis Hashchita Mitzas Reseach. Based on this Gemara, he paskin that La'achash Nikru HaChel of Nikru means to treber, to cut out the sections of the chelev that you're not allowed to eat. Achash Nikru HaChel of Merab Heima, after you move all the chelev, so the knife was cutting, there's a Duchke de Sakina that was cutting chelev, you have to. Lachzer v'litla b'chol ha'mekoymes, since you were using this knife that was bolea chelev, and then you were cutting the meat, so you have to take a different knife now and cut off kadei klipo from those areas that you cut with this knife. שלחת בסג משם דבול מנחל ואגב דוח לסכין חין שמביאים בוסם מתאבוב חי אוב דקוהם. The Jews do all the shechit in the city, everything is kosher, but the goyim in their butcher shops, they use a treif and knife to cut the kosher meat. So he would be matzach, he would, it's Rabbi Yitzchak, but Rabbi Meir would require matzach liklo b'chomok m'shechata b'kachav l'kupet shaloi or b'sakin. Wherever the goy cut with his knife, since it's cut, even though he's cutting with a cold knife, duch ke l'sakin asas. But the meaning is not so. So v'yesh limtza tam ala minik shalona shenoga lo hakel. Why? Because dilma beis hashchita davke shevetzeh k'tzas ma'ani duch ke l'sakin. Combination of both together. Fine. That's how we pass. It says in Shulchan Aruch, the Ramah says, meaning is you have a separate bread knife. Why do you need a separate bread knife? Whatever knife you have on a table to cut the chicken or to cut the milk, so use that knife to cut the bread. The answer is no, that's what the Bir Agro writes there. If he's right, if you're going to cut the challah with a fleshy knife, you can't eat that piece of challah with the leftover challah, you can't eat with milk. If you're going to cut the challah with a milchig knife, there's a duchki de sakin, and then you can't eat it with fleshiks. So lechatchila v'choshish for Rabbi Yitzchak, where mer the duchki de sakin alone makes a bliya. And b'di'evet we don't paskin like that. B'di'evet only asks the duchki de sakin b'tziruf beis hashchita v'seach v'miktsas, or duchki de sakin b'tziruf dovacharif. Dovacharif only asks, let's say you have horseradish. When they serve gefilte of fish. So they usually have burning hot horseradish. So if you put in a spoon and to take out some of the horseradish is all chopped up. So it's chopped up. There is no duch ke sakin. Even if you put in a fork, you're not stabbing the fork and you're not. There is no duch ke sakin. It's all granulated. So there's no duch ke sakin. But if you take, let's say, a milchik fork and you stick it into a salami, salami could be that it's a davachar, because I don't know, I haven't eaten salami in a long time. But salami could be that it has so many spices in it, could be as considered probably different degrees of salami, or sometimes a pickle. Sometimes it could be a pickle, if it's half pickle, the mom's like raw. But it's really pickled, sharp pickle, that could be that's a davachar. So if you stick in a fork, or you stick in a knife, and if it's a fleshy knife or a fleshy fork, and even though it's an Eina Ben Yomo, it'll make up Leah. That's the end of the previous Tosis. Where Machma, not only by Chiltas, Machma anything, even if the Kli is Eina Ben Yomo, it's going to make up Leah. Yeah, what's, Phil, what's the last line in Tosis? This Tosis, Agav Duch Gerasakina. Combination of both. Levada Agav Duch Gerasakina, Nambila Bola. You need duch ke sakin with tziruf cham b'miktas. V'yodam leperk al abas etznon shchata b'sakin shel bas also loch lebekuta. Why? Dagav churfet etznon polit asakin a bol etznon. So you see the duch ke sakin alone. Duch ke sakin alone does nasa only because tznon is a davachor. It's like chiltis is a davachor. Tznon is a radish. So if you have a dover chorif plus duch kiddes sakina, the two together combine to make an issa. But duch kiddes sakina, if it's not a dover chorif, doesn't make a plea. But lachatchila, even though it seems to be against the Gemara, lachatchila when machmer for Rabbi Yitzchak by Meir Shita, so that's why the Ramor recommends you should have a separate bread knife.
Wouldn't it be a knot bar knot?
Yes. The fleshig knives are Rashi there, not Gemara. And Kufir Aleph has two suggestions. And one suggestion is, we're not worried so much about the blia in the knife. We're concerned on the surface of the knife. In days of Gemara, they didn't wash the utensils up so clean, so there was always a little schmaltz on the surface of the knife. Okay, that was one pshat in Rashi. If you say like that, so what did the Gemara say? Churf agav churf it's known. So you mean not only is the blia in the kli that's Eina Ben Yomo, not only the blia in the knife or in the pot, Eina Ben Yomo is us in Tam Lav Gam, even the shamnun is bien on the surface also has going to have a metallic flavor, and after 24 hours that's also going to be nice in Tam Lav Gam. That's very questionable. So the other pshat in Rashi is no. Whenever the Shamnun is Biyam, that's not called Dina Ben Yomer. So you don't need. So what do you mean? Because it's known as a Dovachar, therefore you don't have the Kula of Klisha in a Ben Yomer. Must be even talking about the Bliya in the knife. Either Bliya in the knife should be knot by knot. The fleshy Bliya, it's a kosher knife. The fleshy Bliya in the knife is kosher. Then it goes into the Tznon, and it's still kosher. So that's already Tam Sheni. So Tam Sheni Lehetera, so it should be knot by knot Tehetera. So Rashi has, we're machmeh for that opinion. And Rashi, the knot by knot the Hetera as is by Dov Charif. Just like we say, Eina Ben Yoimai, we're machmeh Dov Charif. So too we're machmeh on knot by knot the Hetera also. Rashi had a son in law, the Ribon. I think the end of Makkas, the Ribon took over. Rashi doesn't go to the end of Makkas, so the son in law took over. So the Tosis later on that, the Gemara, Tosis later quotes, the Ribon claims in the name of Rashi that not by not, the Hetera is only Muta Dogim Sha'olu Bekaira. That was the Losha Gemara. Dogim, if I fried a fish, a part of the fish, and I put the fish on a fleshy plate, which is cold. So then there's going to be a bliya, but it's not going to be that much of a bliya. But what if I cook the fish in a fleshy pot? So then they're both hot. The fish is burning hot, and the pot is burning hot. So Rashi, the Rivon claims that he heard from Rashi, the son-in-law claims, he heard from the father-in-law, that dog mshin is bashla bikaira, there's no kula of not bana. So that's similar to what this pshat in Rashi is. There's no kula of not by not by Dov Charif, because the bliya is going to be stronger than otherwise. So the chatchilu and machmed. The Tosa says he must have had wax in his ears. Rashi never said that. It's not so. So the diavid we're mekel on not by not. A lot of times when you learn Yeridayim, we're mekel a lot of times even on not by not. They bish on the chatchilu and machmed, but the diavid we're mekel. I remember there was a boy in the yeshiva, his father, he's older than me, around 10 years older than me. His father was a member of the Knesset. His father lived in Eretz. He was in America with the mother and his sister. She was going to Stern College, he was going to the yeshiva. I think he's a cousin of Rabbi Rosenzweig. His name used to be Yudel Rosenberg. Then he changed it to Yudel Ben Meir. His brother headed some Hesdi yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael. And he was a member of the Knesset. So when he was a student in yeshiva, so they learned Yeridayah, so he was introduced to this idea that you don't have to wait 6 hours if the mother cooked part of a vegetable soup in a fleshy pot, you don't have to wait 6 hours. So the mother said, he came home and told his mother, you don't have to wait 6 hours. So she said, she's going to wait till the father comes and he agrees. She didn't trust him. She's like, he's learning Yeridayah, why you? She didn't trust him. So wait, if the father agrees, of course it's mutter. You don't have to wait 6 hours. Not by not. You cook part of a soup in a fleshy pot. Rashi Sheet says, you don't say not by not, that's the Rivon quotes the name of Rashi. You don't say not by not, so you consider a fleshy. You don't have to wait 6 hours, that's for sure not. That says in your day, you don't have to wait 6 hours. Okay. Then the Gemara has a discussion. We already did the Gemara, I think. Then the Gemara has a discussion. A person shechts an animal and he discovers that the animal is a trefa. He didn't know in advance. Sak and trefa. He shechted one animal and turned out that that animal is a trefa. Is there a bliya from the trefa animal? Does it give a bliya into the knife and then you have to catch a knife before you want to shecht kosher behema or not? So what does the Gemara say? Sak and trefa, pligi bora, vach, rabina, haramachlekes, charama, bachama, charama, bitzoinen, vilchas, hafila, bitzoinen. The Gemara has a klal, I think. Whenever there's machlegs ravacha ravina, where do we have that klal? Whenever there's machlegs ravacha ravina, we always go lekula, except for a few rare cases. So that's what the Gemara says. Hilchas afilu b'tzaynin. We go lekula. That what? When you shech, because beis hashchita is tzaynin, it doesn't asa. Afilu b'tzaynin. The ikah place at the parts of the michper, and if you have a shmata, to wipe off the knife, so you can wipe it off. So Tosis points out only sak and trefa. I shechted an animal, turns out the animal is a trefa. So Tosis says, whenever you shecht any animal, there's blood. Blood is also bachila. Dam shana shamba yotzebo, that's the blood with an isa kar. Not all blood has kars. If you take a piece of meat and you didn't salt it and you squeeze out the blood, if you ever take a piece of raw meat and it has blood in it, that's Tamei Varm Shel Pirish. So this is going to have a Raya, I think it's coming up in the first parak soon. Tamei Varm Shel Pirish is mutter, even to eat a raw liver. Even though Tesis has a lashon later on, COVID is Kula Dam, but to eat a raw piece of liver is mutter. Tamei Varm Shel Pirish is considered Moel HaBosa, the juice of the meat. Mem Vav Hei Lam. Moel is the juice. Moel HaBosa is mutter. But so let's say you take a raw piece of meat and you squeeze out all the dam and then you drink it. So that's dami varm shel pirish. That'll be an isa. If that's only an isa lav, it's not koris. Koris is only on dam shebelev, dam that's konus belev, or dam shanashama yotzebo. Even though it's all in one pasuk, it says one pasuk, you're not allowed to eat dam. But the Gemara lines up in the pesukim, they're different kinds. The Tosfos quotes the Rabbi Netama, Yom Kippur, derech hamisha inuim. So it's only koris on achilu shtiyah. There's no chorus on Nidah Sassando, the Chitz and Sicha, Tash Vashamit, only on Achil Ushtir. The more in the end of the Dorm has a limud from the Pasuk. So this led the Rabbi Netam to believe that the Shari Noim are only the Rabbanim. If the Shari Noim would be their Isis, how can you distinguish? It's all learned out from the same Pasuk in Nisim and Stam Shesechem. How can you say that on this you have chorus and that you don't have chorus? So many other Mishanim disagree. They say, no, all the Hamisha Noim are their Isis. And the Rambam is Mashma, all the Noim are their Isis. That's on the first Mishnah, the last Perek in Yuma, the whole Yuma till the last Perek talks about Avodas Yom Kippur. The last Perek talks about the Hamisha Yinuim, the part that's relevant to us, Bizman Hazeh. So in the opening Mishnah is the Ran, the first Ran, the first Tesis Rishonim there. They have the Machlekas, but the Hamisha Yinuim is the Raisa, the Rabbanim. So it's not such a conclusive proof, because we have one Pasuk that has an Isa Dam, and it includes dam that does have course and dam that does not course. Dam shanashama yetzibo, dam alev, konis belev. So the Rambam says that there's chorus. Gemoris increases. And dam evarim, the dam and the capillaries, that's dam deraisa. That's dam deraisa. If it's dam evarim shetpirish, if you squeeze it out, you separate it, that'll be an isa deraisa. But there won't be chorus on that. So it's not such a kashi. So Tosis is bothered with the kashi. Why does Gemoris say a shecht, an animal? And I discover afterwards that it's a treifa, so this is a machlekes, was the sakim bolea. You have to do hagol on the sakim before you shech the behem akshera now. What if you shech the behem akshera? There's going to be tons of dam. So you should have the same shaila, that sakim should be bolea dam. And when you want to, every time you want to shech, the shochtim usually, when they shech chickens, so they stand on line, they stand for an hour. They have the goyim hold on to the chicken, they're on conveyor belts. Then the guy holds on that it shouldn't flap its wings. And the sheikh goes one, two, three. He shechts 60 chickens a minute. Every second he shechts another chicken, another chicken, another chicken. Shechting chickens all. The more reliable hashkoch is shecht 55 chickens a minute. Instead of 60 a minute, they shecht very quickly. So this is the kasha. How can you shecht the second time with the same knife? Why don't you need hagola in between? Because there's balef and the dam. When you shecht the kon and the beishet, all the dam gushes out. So how come Tosfos says, Mashma, Tosfos di mamasal sakan trefa. Mashma, the sakan ksheva the kol yalma b'tzeinen. You don't have to kasher it. You have to kasher it if you want to shech the second time. You don't have to rinse it off with water either. They shech many times one after the other. Pina dafkali lishcha pamachera, so you want to shech the second time. Afal ga, afal pishem luchluch asakim b'dam harbei. It's a ton of dam over there. They said, "But lafal chiyesh dam harbei beis hashchita and rabei ma'atzma." Well, the bolalem shem the treaty simanim lifel adam. You don't have to worry about dam. There's always a ton of dam, and the simanim, the neck, the kohen devesha giving off dam, so it's not going to be balei a new dam. But if you have a sakin that you used to shecht an animal, and now you want to cut a piece of flesh with it, so that will be a problem. Avalachtech barisech afilu shochad bab ksheira osur. That's not. That's what they quote Gemara from later from Parakalabas. It says the last line of Tesis. Sakin sheshochad ba osalachtech barisech, a knife that used for shchita. If you're going to cut meat with it, you have duchke de sakina bitzirof beis hashchita resech b'miktzas. So lechatchila for sure, we say it's probably it could be that it's baleya. I think we pass can probably be tzeinen before. Even the combination is only a chum. We pass can probably be tzeinen, but But lachatchila, you shouldn't do it. So avada osa lachtech barasech. Now about to cut the steak with it. Then the next Gemara had, if you have a saken shel nochrim, a knife that belonged to, if you shechted a banim, it'll turn out to be a trefa, then you might use this knife to shecht again. So the din is, you just rinse it off, wash it off well, and if you have a good shmata, so you wipe off the knife, even if there's no water, you wipe off the knife, and that'll remove all of the bien. So there's no problem. So Tosis is bothered with a kasha. You have to stick it in the ground 10 times in order to get all the bien, all of the guk, all the, off of the surface of the knife. So Akam Aviyah just says you wipe it off on a shmata. Over there it says you have to stick it in the karka kosher as a pomin. So Tosis says there, the Gemara in Avodah Zarah Daf Ayin Vav is talking about sakin shel nochrim, that the nochri loy dami. The second trefa, the hocha, the bikurah. Here, you shechted one animal, it turned out accidentally to be a trefa. This is a bikurah b'yama, used it once to shecht the trefa. Avol p'sakn shalav, the kachav, the gemara there in the end of it, masechus avodazot, the knife was used for years. Metel shechotchem bo isa tomid, they used it all the time for chazah, for trefas. Nidbak boy, Hashem knew there's going to be more bien on the surface, and it's menable on it, you have to stick it, b'karka kosher, as a pomer. So here it was only used once to shecht the trefa. You just have to get off the bien. So if you wash it off with water, you wipe it off with the shmata, is good enough. Fine. That's the Tosfos. Yeah. Then the Gemara gives recommendations. And the butcher in a slaughterhouse, you need 3 different knives. Solosh, sakin, zolosh, and the keva. So they keep on correcting everything here. So the shoychet needs 3 sakin. Achas shoychet bo, need 1 knife miyuchet for shechting. Vachas is sepanash mechatech bo. So if you want to cut the meat, you shouldn't use the same knife that you shecht with. You're going to use the same knife, you're going to be poking it. It has to be very, very sharp. You don't want any pegimus on it. When you cut the meat, you're going to have pegimus. That's not a problem. So that's done. Tosis quotes from the Gemara in Shabbos here. The Tosis dima masra velesakin chode velachtech bo. This is quotes from Shabbos Kuf Chav Gimel, that it says it's Mukzen Machman Schisor and Kis. A Saken Shal Shchita is Miyuchet for Shchita. Same thing, a Saken Shal Bris Milo. It's Miyuchet for doing a Bris Milo. And it's a precision instrument, so the Machman not to use it for anything else. If you have a Kalisha Malachta Lisa, let's say you have a hammer. It's miyuchet to bang in nails, so it's a klisha malach to the yisr. But once in a long while, you have a nut that's tough to crack. So you take the hammer and you bang on the nut and you crack it open. Once in a while, you have a jar that doesn't open. So you take the hammer and you bang on the jar. So it's not kol malach to the yisr. It's roi malach to the yisr, mid malach to the heter. So that's not mukzah. That's called klisha malach to the yisr. You're not allowed to handle it unnecessarily, but it's all goofy, it's all mekamo, you're allowed to move it. Mechama letzel, you're not allowed to. If you're afraid someone's going to steal it, afraid that it's going to get ruined, it's in the sun, so then you're not allowed to move the klisha malach talisa. Let's say a pen, a pencil, a hammer, a screwdriver, that's klisha malach talisa, it's not mukzah. But if you have a sakan shal shchito, you have an izemel shal nilo, that you're not allowed to do a bris milah on Shabbos, it's a malach, and that's a milah bizmana. But if you don't have a milah bizmana schedule, and a sakna shal shchita, you're not allowed to shecht on Shabbos. So the ikar tashmish that it has is not permissible on Shabbos. And it's a precision instrument, so you're makben not to use it for anything else. So the rabbin and tam learns, it turns out on a Shabbos, it's komalach delisa. So klisha komalach delisa is mukta mamish. That's how the rabbin and tam interprets the Gemara. That's what the Ramo quotes there. That a klisha kol malach tali yisr is mukta mamish on Shabbos. You never use it for anything other than malach. Kol malach tali yisr, if you have a mukta machmas chisor and kis, the ike hishtamshus is a malacha. And you're makbid because it's a precision instrument. Let's say you have a cell phone. I don't know, today's cell phones are so cheap, so people give it to the babies to play with. They're not nervous about it. But years ago, cell phones were considered expensive, so you wouldn't give it to a child to play with. You only use it for talking on a telephone. You don't use it for a bookmark or something. You're makpid. So if it's if the ikar hishtamshus is the malacha, whether the raisa or the rabban, the ikar hishtamshus is the malacha, and because it's a precision instrument and it's expensive, they makpid not to use it for anything else. So that's kol malach tolis. Kol malach tolis is muktzah mamish. That's what there's the quotes from the Gemara on Shabbos, that the sakon shel shechita is muktzah on Shabbos, not just klisha malach tolis, is muktzah. Not allowed to move, and even sarkufa l'sarp mekarmel, even mechama l'tzel. Shulchan Aruch says, I remember once I was davening in yeshiva, so on Rosh Hashanah, so they needed every seat in Beis Medrash. So one kid on the erev Rosh Hashanah, he left his tefillin on the chair, and nobody was thinking. So he came leil Rosh Hashanah, they daven mincha early in the yeshiva, and then the people come to daven ma'ariv. It's already in the middle of the night. So then they needed that seat. So I remember the Rosh Hashiva's son was a character. He was a little kid before Bar Mitzvah. So he picked up the tefillin and said, I know that it's muktzah and I don't care. And he put it away somewhere. Put it. So Shulchan Aruch says that the tefillin are not muktzah. The Rabbi writes, tefillin are not muktzah. It's a klisha malachta lehetta. Why? Because you put the tefillin on Shabbos. But if you want to put on tefillin, it's permissible. So the Taz there writes on that, that's in Hilchos Muktzah. And the Rabbi writes, that tefillin is klish malachta leheter. Klish malachta leheter, you're allowed to move the tzor kufa, the tzor mekarma, or mechama the tzor. Shalom the tzor klal, you're not allowed to. Let's say just to fidget with something. Let's say you're going to go, do like this. Or you're gonna play with your cup like this on the table. So that's, even klish malachta leheter says you're not allowed to. But if it's a klish malachta leheter, so it's only muta the tzor kufa, the tzor mekarma, mechama the tzor, you're not allowed to. That's a klish malach talis. So the Shulchan Aruch says that tefillin is a klish malach talaheter because mikra din, you're allowed to, if you want to, you're permitted to wear tefillin Shabbos Yom Tov. The Taz says over there, but according to the Zohar, that the Machabe quoted in the Hilchas tefillin, that it's prohibited to wear tefillin on Shabbos Yom Tov because it's a bizoyin to Shabbos. The reason why you put it from tefillin on Shabbos Yom Tov because it's kshatam lo'os al yadecha, yotze Shabbos is yamitem she'en gufa nois. Shabbos Yom Tov is a nois. Osi, Bein Ben Ezer, Osi Liyolam. Shabbos is a nois. If you're going to wear tefillin on Shabbos, you demonstrate as if Shabbos needs the Osi tefillin. If Shabbos is not a nois, you're not allowed to wear tefillin. The Taz says, according to the Zohar, that the Mechaba was machme for, that you're not allowed to wear tefillin on Shabbos and Yom Tov. So then it would come out that it's a klisha malach talis. So Rav Soloveitchik said, he once heard from his uncle, Rav Velvala, that once he already say like the Zohar, it shouldn't only be a klisha malach talis. You only use tefillin for wearing tefillin. You don't use tefillin as a bookmark or anything. You don't use it to, you want to draw, underline something. You're going to take the tefillin and underline it. You only use tefillin for wearing for the mitzvah. It's kol malach talis. So according to this Rabbein Tam, the Ramot, machma like that Rabbein Tam, that the klisha kol malach talis, all you use it for is to wear the mitzvah, and you're not allowed to on Shabbos. So klisha kol malach talis, it should be muktzah mamish. So you're not allowed to move it at all. Even the tzorach mekoma, even the Taz says we should treat the tefillin like kalisha malach taliyiser. There should only be mutter to move in the tzorach kufa. Some comes to take it off of the chair. That would be mutter. That's the tzorach mekoma. They need the seat. They need every seat in Beis Medrash on Leil Rosh Hashanah. According to Rav Elbele, the tefillin should take the muktzah because it should be kol malach taliyiser. According to Rav Elbele. Anyway, so the Gemara here says if you have a slaughterhouse. You have to have three different knives. One knife that you shecht with, and one knife that you cut meat with, normal, and one knife that you cut chelev with, because the chelev is also bachilev. So you can't use the same knife for cutting the chelev. Everything is cold, but it's going to be schmaltzy. You're going to have the shamnunis b'yem when you're going to cut the meat. So the schmaltz from the chelev is going to get onto the flesh, and you're not allowed to. Vegmar kasha, why do you have to have a separate one? Over the second lechada, why don't you have one knife to shecht and one knife for cutting the meat and the chelev, and make sure you first cut the meat and then you cut the chelev. Lech techba basa first, cut first the basa, and afterwards you'll cut the chelev. And with the Gemara, we're afraid, make a gzera, shema yachta chelev, achakach basa. We're afraid that he made by mistake, first use it for the chelev, then for the basa, then the schmatz from the chelev is going to get onto the basa. Frey the Gemara, now that you tell him that he has to have a separate knife, you got to put a label on it. This one says chelev and this says basa. And what if he's not noticing? He may use the wrong knife. He may by mistake use the knife for the chelev to cut the basa, and then he'll have the schmaltz on the from the chelev stuck onto the basa. So Gemara says, no, since he required that he should have two different knives, so he's going to make sure that he remembers which is which. One's going to say in big letters Cheder, one's going to say in big letters Basar. Gemara said, there's no concern. Then the Gemara said the same thing. He has to have two different containers that he fills with water. One of them is going to soak the meat before he salts it. You have to soak the meat to loosen up the dam. So the licha doesn't help unless you soften the meat. And a lot of the butcher shops where they salt the meat, a lot of times they make a mistake. They soak the meat and they take it out, they put it on a salting board. And then they throw the salt on right away. It says in Shulchan Aruch, you shouldn't put the salt on when it's sopping wet, because the salt is going to dissolve in the water. You have to wait till it dries out a little bit. If you wait an hour later, it's going to get hard again. So you have to soften the meat by soaking it for a while, and that'll loosen the dam so that the salting will have an effect later. So the Gemara says you got to have two different trays that you fill up with water. In the butcher shop, one tray is to soak the meat and one tray is to soak the chalev. You're going to sell the chalev to the guy. The chalev is muta bana. It says, the chalev nevela, the chalev tray for yosa lechon malacha, vacha lo sachlu. The pasuk, that chalev is muta bana. So you're going to sell it. A lot of times they sell it to the soap companies. So the expensive soaps, the cheap soap doesn't have it, the expensive soaps have chalev in them. So that's why there's a shayla on Shulchan Aruch. The Ramah says on Shabbos you're not allowed to use a bar of soap because of mimachik. Mimachik is an abmalochen. Mimachik is if you have mimachik is, let's say you have a wooden board and it's rough on the surface. So you sandpaper it down to make it smooth. So that's mimachik. Then mimareach is if you have a rough surface and you make it smooth by pouring on, let's say, shoe polish. Your shoes are all sloppy, or the floor is a tile floor, and it's rough on the floor, and you pour on, what do you pour on? Wax? You wax the floor. Or you put on shoe polish on the shoe. You make a rough surface into a smooth surface by adding something. If you make it into a smooth surface by sandpapering it down, by removing the roughness, that's the malacha of mamachik. If you make a rough surface into a smooth surface by adding something, by adding wax or by adding shoe polish, that's memarech, it's a tolda mamachik. That's a shalom, let's say a person has chapped hands and he smears on lotion. And all the lotion gets absorbed. So everything, so he made the surface into a smooth surface by rubbing it into the skin. That's a shalom, is that also called memarech, it's a tolda mamachik. So the Shmir Shabbos Kolchos, he quotes that different people asked the Shaila of the Chazon Ish, and on some occasions said Mutter, and most of the time he said Os. So he assumes that it's Os. There was a period in his life that he thought that maybe it's Mutter. That since you're not making a new smooth surface, it doesn't sit above, it gets absorbed under the skin, so maybe that's not an Isam in Maria. So we usually Machmana, we hold that that's Os. So what if you have, let's say, a bar of soap? The bar of soap is smooth. And when you use it, so if you use the bar of soap enough times, it disappears. Why does it disappear? Because every time you use it, a 1/16 of an inch disappears. You can't say nothing disappears. Then the bar of soap would last forever. Obviously, a 1/30 of a 1/50 of an inch, something disappears each time. So ultimately, you have to use the bar of soap long enough, so it's going to disappear. So some poskim are of the opinion that's not an isa of memachik. Because it was a smooth surface, he's just making a lower smooth surface, a 1/30 of an inch lower than it was before. And the Ramah and Shulchan Aruch says you're not allowed. Ramah says even though bar of soap is a smooth surface, and by using it, by rubbing your hand on the bar of soap, you're making it smaller. So that's a nisar of memachik. You're making a new smooth surface, even though it wasn't rough before, making a new smooth surface. So the Ramah says that it's mutter. And then on that Ramah, so the Mishnah Berurah quotes that the Samach Renim of Amachma, even on the weekdays, you're not allowed to use a bar of soap if it has chalev in it. Why? Because sicha kishtia. If you rub it into your skin, so the chalev gets absorbed into the pores of the skin. So sicha kishtia, just like if you pour the chel of down your throat, that's called shtia. So if you pour it into your skin, you say out there also, sicha kishtia. So we usually assume not like that. We usually assume that, I remember when the stifle had passed away, I happened to be in Eretz Yisrael that summer. So we went to the funeral. So by the funeral, only Rav Shach said a hesped. But then later on, we were in Yerushalayim. So then later on, other people said hesped. So this Rabbi Horowitz, who I think was a brother-in-law, Rav Shlomo Zalman somehow. So he was a Talmud of the stipler for 40 years. So he was telling over stories. Because he loved the stipler, so every story was gewaldig. If a stranger listened to the story, some of the stories I wouldn't have said. So he said the stipler was machmer, he never used soap. he never used soap. He was afraid, he was choshish. He didn't buy the expensive soap. The cheap soap doesn't have chelv in it. The expensive soap has chelv in it. So he said the stipler was choshish, that shine. He never used any soap because sichik kishti. Basically, we hold like the Rabbeinu Tam in Nida. The Rabbeinu Tam holds sichik kishti is only with the Rabbanan, and they only ask it by Truma. By Yom Kippur, but you don't say Sichi Kishtiya on Chelev, on Yisrael Chelev. You don't say like that. Some people joking when they can't drink, someone gives a Kiddush, so they give schnapps, and they can't drink schnapps, they're not healthy. So some of the schnapps always spills on the tray. So they'll take some of the schnapps and rub it on the finger and say Sichi Kishtiya. So that for sure is not right. Sichi Kishtiya is only if it's oily. Then you say it gets absorbed in the pores, so that's maybe sicha kishtiya. Otherwise, not. Anyway, so the Gemara says over here, you have to have two different containers to hold the water. One to wash the chelev, they're going to sell the chelev to the soap company, he's going to sell the chelev to the goyim. Pasuk says, mutamara, chelev and veil, chelev, trefi yosel lachom alocha. It's mutabahano. So you want to wash the chelev, but you don't wash the chelev, and if you're going to wash it in the same tray where you're going to wash the basar, so the schmaltz from the chelev is going to get onto the basar. So the Gemara asked again, why do you need two trays? Use the same tray, first use it for the flesh, and then use it afterwards for the chelev. So the Gemara said, we're afraid the guy's going to forget. And he'll do the reverse. Fake Gemara, if you're going to forget, so he'll forget which is which. So he'll, by mistake, he'll switch them. He'll use the chelev dika tray to use the basar, and it may still have a little schmaltz from the chelev. The Gemara says, nah, once we require it, you'd have two different trays. He's going to have in a big letter, this is for the chelev, and this is for the boss. Okay. Then the Gemara says you should always be careful not to put the chelev on top of the basar when it's raw, because some of the schmaltz from the chelev may go down. So drink the Gemara, and if you don't have one on top of the other, you have it the way it grew in the animal, and you leave it like that on the tray. Why aren't you afraid that it's balea from the chelev to the chelev is touching the basar? Why aren't you afraid? The Gemara says, because there's a membrane separating in between. There's a krum. So the Gemara, once there's a krum, so what's so bad if you put the chelev on top of the basar? The chelev is not going to go through the krum. The Gemara says, no, the top line on tesam and all. Aida b'mash m'shiyoda the tapcha nifta. Since he's handling it, the shechet is handling it, so he's going to rip the krum, he's going to rip the membrane. So some of the chelev may get rubbed onto the flesh. Everything is tzainin, but you're afraid that they get stuck over there. The next Gemara is a famous Gemara. Maybe we'll save it for tomorrow. The Taptaisis is very famous. Maybe I'll just give you an introduction to the Taptaisis. The din is, Kol HaMitzvos Kulam Avarach Aleim, Oy Val Asi Yosem. It's a Gemara M'sochem Dav Zayin. What kind of a funny expression, Oy Val Asi Yosem? The Gemara quotes two psukim from Tanakh to show you what the meaning of the word Oyver is. So why did they use such a funny word, Oyver? Should have said, Koydem Asi Yosem. So the Rishonim said, Oyver has the connotation of immediately before. You don't say the bracha laniach tefillin when you're taking the tefillin out of the tefillin zekel, as you're putting it on your arm. The Gemara said, you say the bracha on tefillin when the tefillin sheyad is already on your arm, you're about to tighten it, then you say the bracha. So that's what the Loshon HaGemara is. The Loshon HaGemara is, Tosfos quotes here, the fourth line from the top. Tefillin in Menachas, daf lamed hei. Tefillin emesai mevarach aleim. Mishas hanoche v'atshas kshira. In between the hanoch, after it's already on his arm, as he's about to tighten it. That's the din that Rishayim said, Oyva lasi asim, and not Oyva diyav. You shouldn't have Oyva diyav. So it's going to be a machlekes to Rabbi Natam and Rabbi Eliyo. I think Rabbi Eliyo was his brother-in-law. That a machlekes, what does that mean? So tune in tomorrow. Okay. So what's the program now? What are we supposed to do?